SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races. We're going to call it hour three. And Casey, I think Casey missed my cue because with the visit from Dermot Magner, we did have the chance to play the Rubber Bandits. And given growing up in proximity to Limerick City, Dermot, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. Dermot, congratulations. The first win comes with Hirsch, fourth horse that you sent out on your own. And this is obviously a horse that's got plenty of talent and has got some things ahead of him.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting to win a race on Whitney Day. And he is a very talented colt, from the time he came in from the farm. Till he debuted, we've always liked him a lot. So the future looks bright for him.
We'll dig into Hirsch and into the whole barn and the other the other couple of horses that you've already started and maybe some that we can look forward to. But let's get a little background and let's talk about you and coming to the U.S. and your background and how you got where you are.
I joined Todd Pletcher's barn here in the summer of 2013. Spent a couple of years working there as a foreman underneath those guys, and brilliant experience. And then the opportunity arose to be an assistant for Chad Brown. I worked over in Monmouth Park for him for two summers. It's just kind of snowball effect. Met a bunch of guys, and they said, if you ever decided you want to go on your own, we would be more than happy to send you some horses, and just kind of escalated from there, really.
I love it. Before you came to the U.S., and in terms of getting involved in horses from the start, take us back to Rathcale.
Parents have a big dairy farm at home, approximately 200 cows and a couple of brood mares. Always had horses at home from hunting, show jumping, cross country, and I just kind of always been around them. I would rather like the horses more than the cows, so I just followed that route.
Explain, we're doing some fun things with Ireland. We've got the Dublin Racing Club that John Parada started, and we bring people in, and they've been going over to enjoy all the opportunities to enjoy Ireland, the racing and the highest level, to even more casual. Some of the countryside courses. How'd you get on the racetrack from the dairy side?
When I was younger, I left home at I think it was 17 or 18. Went to the Curragh for 3 years. Kind of cut my teeth there working, and then rode a little bit as an amateur, point to point me, bumpers and all that sort of stuff. Kind of, always been around, did a little bit of buying and selling, kind of all aspects of it.
Did you come to the U.S. with a job, or did you?
No, came here kind of just visiting over and back a few times. When I came then, I contacted Kieran McLaughlin and kind of wanted to work for him, but he guided me afterwards to go working for Todd. So that's kind of how that all came about.
Not bad. Not bad at all. That's, you know, they're friendly rivals. But don't play poker. Don't, until you get a bigger bankroll, you don't want to sit at the poker table between those two.
I think it's too late for that advice. I've already gotten a lesson.
I love it. Oh, give us a little bit of the background on Hirsch, because when right from the debut, when he finished behind Payne downstate, it was evident that this was going to be, you know, a horse with a future.
Yeah, he came in to me around April 1 at Belmont, and just trained right along. You know, from the first day that we breezed him, you know, we were always very happy. I was happy to debut him that day. I was a little disappointed we didn't win, but just needed that race to really make a man of him. And last Saturday here, that foundation and that experience helped him a lot.
How was he acquired? Because he's a horse that went through the ring a hatful of times.
Yeah, the owner's nice guy, Stable, Steven Spielman. They had some horses in California. I believe Dennis O'Neill purchased this one for him. They decided they wanted to bring their horses back to New York. They're New York guys, so lucky enough, they sent this guy to me.
This horse, it's quite something. He was sold in utero with the dam, and then went through I think a yearling sale twice, and then two-year-old sales.
Yeah.
Well,
Dennis bought a crop of horses for those guys that year, and I think they've had six total. This guy was the last one of them to run. So they're six for six. They've all ran and won. And
unbelievable.
They've been very lucky.
And he's a Jimmy Creed. And what was notable about Saturday, earlier on the card, Lee Einsiedler, the second-time starter, Cassa Creed. So Jimmy Creed with two maiden wins on the day at Saratoga. And the Jimmy Creeds, they can turf. They can one turn. This is out of a Southern Image mare, so every likelihood or opportunity for him to really do anything. Where do you go from here after Saturday's diploma?
We'll probably take him back to Belmont, win an allowance there, hopefully. You know, maybe at the end of the year, I'd love to take him to Santa Anita for the Malibu Stakes in December, if that worked out. I think that could be a nice end of year target for him. I could see him having a big 4-year-old career. You know, he's lightly raced, so I'm just hoping all that comes together.
Did you get much of the background in terms of, you know, what slowed him down from getting to the races?
Yeah, he's a tall horse. He needed some time. I believe he had a minor shin, so the owners were very patient with him. Just brought him along slowly, and, you know, it's paid off today.
What kind of horse is he to be around?
He's very smart, very intelligent. He loves training, you know, and he wants to get out first in the morning, and once he gets back in his stall, he'll sleep and chill and eat all day.
Nice.
He's very intelligent.
Well, if you got one that it's easy on themselves, that, you know, that solves any number of potential problems. 88 buyer on Hirsch, and Joel Rosario, you know, brought him around, and at that point in the day, certainly the racetrack was playing well for, you know, horses rallying from off the pace and on the outside of the racetrack.
Yeah, I mean, it came with a huge 5 five wide run around the turn. I was getting a little bit nervous that that I had him fit enough to withstand that run, but he did. And Joel has braced him a few times for me, and he loved him, so he kind of knew what to do with him, how to ride him.
Well, you turned the table on Chad, actually. Now I'm thinking about it, because Business Cycle and Al-Khatem, and Chad had beaten you with Pain, and here you ran those two down.
Yeah, it was great to beat the old boss with one. So he's one up, and I'm one up.
Nice. When it comes to adding horses, how many beside the other two? I know you had a couple of maiden claiming starts. How many horses are you putting your hands on in the morning?
We just brought up six up here to Saratoga. Have a few more back at Belmont. Just brought up a couple of two-year-olds. Right now, we've got our hands on 14 at the moment. So I'm just trying to build and keep building slowly. And just got to be patient. You know, we've got some nice quality two-year-olds. Just got to be patient with them and wait for them.
Are you getting on horses too?
No. Don't get on anymore. Got a couple of riders here, a couple of freelancers come in, help get some of the jocks over to help Breeze.
All right, because that it's always a helpful aspect, and you know, when you can, I always sense that, you know, the trainers that, you know, that get on some of their horses, it's a unique circumstance, obviously. Maybe figure out sometimes, but you can do it just as easily, you know, watching them too. But it's a nice little angle, obviously. One thing I've lost track of. How old are you?
38.
Okay. Well, Dermot, clearly a lot to look forward to. And have you found being on your own, have you found it comfortable in terms of talking to potential clients? I mean, recruiting, talk about that part of it.
It's always slow when you're starting out, but, you know, got a nice owner base. Obviously, we're still looking for more owners, more quality horses. So it's picking up slowly, but you know, we're going to go back to Belmont after the meet here and probably head to South Florida for the winter and just keep marketing ourselves and just keep chipping away. So we've got some quality two-year-olds here to do it.
For the sales market, do you have a philosophy or an approach you prefer, you know, to help owners pick out yearlings, or taking on, you know, two-year-olds in training and going forward with those?
Yeah, I kind of not too involved with the buying. I kind of let that up to the agents. Peter Bradley, David and Gordo, all those guys are picking out some two-year-olds for us. They've done a great job. So I kind of just worry more about training them than purchasing them.
Nice. Well, there's, you know, for you and some of the other, there's really a nice collection of young trainers that have gone out on their own that are on the display this summer, and you get the breakthrough win Saturday on a very big stage, Whitney Day, as mentioned, and obviously with a very talented horse that has got plenty of upside in Hirsch. Dermot, I really appreciate the visit, and best of luck the rest of the meet and throughout the career.
All right, well, thank you, and thanks for the call.
Not at all.
Dermot Magner, everybody, and Dermot and who else has been? Jonathan Thomas, obviously, emergent, and we've talked about, we had Cherie DeVoe also, of course, and Cherie knocking on the door for her first win, just missed earlier in the meet. Brittany Trimble down in the Mid-Atlantic. There's a lot of young people that have taken that step, and it's a high wire act, but you need supportive people, and it looks like Dermott's got them. And if he's working with Peter Bradley and David Ngordo, he's in good hands, obviously. Nice. I wanted to get him in. And if you didn't see Hirsch's win, pull it up from Saturday. That was the sixth race, and that was a blitzkrieg. Granted, the track was playing to that at that point, but the way in which he, you know, more or less inhaled the field, and he was a little green down the stretch still, in just a second, a little bit playful, but clearly a horse that, I mean, that's an ambitious end of season goal if he's talking about getting the Malibu circled. But break your maiden at 7/8. That is always a positive sign. I mean, good horses break their maiden at 7/8. Let's take a break and come back with Michael Blowen. We got a visit with, and we've got Seth to get to, and Mrs. Nielsen. Some fun third hour. Watching for the scratches and the changes, and they've got I haven't written the Del Mar piece up yet, but I will, obviously, for later on. I've already put the first half of the card. I put races 1 through 5. They are up at the website. So those of you that want to get going into the day after the show, I'll put races 6 through 10 up, and the Del Mar action for later. All right? I think I may have met yesterday, even though I had to run into Saratoga, still was able, I think, to get a little bit ahead of things. I've got the Wednesday card done and the Thursday card, so I feel like I've got a toehold. This is like mountain climbing. you gotta get those little toeholds and climb, you know, claw your way back up. But I think we may have gotten in front of the meat a little bit in terms of the cards and the handicapping. Back after this, I think Michael Blowen probably next, and Mrs. Nielsen and Seth.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Fun to connect with Dermot Magner. And Dermot does have a Twitter account, but he hasn't tweeted yet. It's under Magner Dermot. And I'll put out a link when I put out today's listing of the show. But he's following a bunch of horse people, and he's got some followers already, 18. But we're going to have to push him to do some tweeting, obviously. So fun to connect. It's always great. The breakthrough first win, and to do it under this glare at Saratoga. And that race that he won, that was a hot group of older maidens. There was that Klarovich, Lawrence runner business cycle, the five-year-old that is obviously a nice horse and probably becomes a winner next time. There was the Shadwell as well, Alcatam. There was the Centennial runner, Illudare, Jimmy Jerkins. There was Dark and Cloudy, Pletcher. So actually, Magner beat both of his North American previous work experience. And there was a horse. In fact, I used the Brian Lynch that really disappointed. Point of Humor. And that was surprising. Didn't run and had been working brilliantly and had fired three straight bullets and maybe a horse that has to get the lead, maybe. Maybe that's part of his issue, because he broke mid-pack and never really moved forward, just sort of slowly retreated back and ended up finishing last in his debut. But that was a hot group. And, you know, there was one other name in there from that race that I have to mention. Dale Beckner from Saratoga, and, of course, had that terrible, terrible accident a handful of years ago. And Dale has got other business interests, but he comes back to the racetrack and is in riding shape. And I very easy. I should really get Dale on and root for him openly. Was always a solid rider. And he had, I think, three mounts on Saturday. And Duncastle beat a couple and wasn't disgraced by any means at a long price. But it was great to see Dale's name first in the PPs and then to see him out there riding in the afternoon. Great to see Michael Blowen last night, yesterday afternoon, in the social event of the season. And that was, of course, the Friedberg's Brunch, raising some money for old friends and just basically a collection of friends. And Avi and Rhoda have made this into an annual event. And Michael Blowen in town for what is also an annual event that people look forward to. Little old friends get together, tonight after the races at the Washington Inn. Michael Blowen, good morning.
Steve, how are you? It was great seeing you yesterday.
Always terrific. You and I on the march, making the rounds, and you love coming here.
Yes, I do. I didn't miss it. When we lived in Boston, I didn't miss opening week for 22 years in a row. So, yeah, sitting here on the porch. As a matter of fact, came up with the idea for old friends sitting in Saratoga on the porch at Ann's Washington Inn. So it has a lot of great memories. Some losing tickets and great memories and occasionally a winner. So it's great.
Well, you having worked for so long in Boston and your role as the film critic for the Globe and the proximity to Saratoga and the opportunity to come across, take in the fair circuit as well that you've talked about, you know, so warmly. And there may be just one portion of the fair circuit that still has potential to be resurrected. How great would it be, Michael, to go back to Great Barrington?
Oh, that would be terrific. As long as the purse structure supports the horses a little bit more than it did in the old days, it'd be fine.
I
would really look forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to tonight. Tell everybody what the plans are, and then we'll talk about what's going on the farm.
Great. Well, tonight we have our wonderful Joe Boken, who runs Ann's Washington Inn, opens up the inn so everybody can come after the races. There's no charge. We have all the beer was donated by Country Boy Brewery in Georgetown. I brought it up here in the car. And Mama Mia's is given the free food. And Dagmar Steiner, Joe Steiner's wife, is an extraordinary painter, has painted all of our horses. And she came out with a book called The Art of Old Friends. Bob and Jill Baffert wrote the introduction. Jay Hovde and I did the commentary. But the paintings are absolutely extraordinary. And she'll be here to sign her book.
So that's very
exciting.
Very nice.
Everybody gets together, and it's a lot of fun. As I say, it's free. So we just want to thank. It's kind of our way to say thank you to everybody for all their support during the hard times, during the lean years, and now that things are going a lot better, and we have a lot more horses, and a lot of these really nice trainers here, and really nice owners are really thinking about aftercare as a serious issue. It's wonderful to come here and know, you know, we already picked up a horse from Al Stahl. You know, it's really great.
Well, let's use this as the opportunity to talk about what's gone on at the farm, because you keep acquiring land and you keep expanding. You're constantly looking to make it possible for more horses to come to Old Friends, and you really helped pioneer this destination retirement concept and tourist attraction as a means of publicizing aftercare, and that extends. You know, these are fully retired horses, but it does also reflect the entire landscape that includes a lot more retraining and repurposing and second careers.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, one of the organizations, the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, has done a remarkable job of accrediting our organizations, and they go over you like the IRS goes over your books. They go over your books. They go over your farm. They make sure it's safe. So when you send a horse to us or to New Vocations or any one of the really great retraining facilities that's been accredited by the TAA, you know your horse is going to get the best possible care that they can possibly get. So hats off to them for doing all of that, so you don't have to worry so much about anybody's horse falling into the wrong hands. So they do a really, really good job. And if somebody like New Vocations or Rerun or the TRF or whoever it happens to be gets a horse that can't be retrained, then they can call us and we try to make accommodations available. And vice versa, if we get a call about a horse that's young and energetic and still feels like they want to do something else, then we call them. So it works. It's pretty cooperative now. It's really, really nice.
The original focus and the idea, and it was
completely new at the time when, you know, when we used to talk and you were still, you know, just really growing and things were taking shape. It was as a retirement home for pensioned stallions. And that was a unique concept. And it still is at the center of old friends as a concept.
Yes, it is. Yep. We have, we're very fortunate. You know, we have so many great horses, stallions now, Steve. We have, Albert the Great and Alphabet Soup and War Emblem, Silver Charm. And, you know, what's really cool is we have Silver Charm and Touch Gold in adjoining paddocks. And we got Sarava just down the hill from War Emblem. So we have our own different version of the Triple Crown. Bob Baffert and his family, they've been great to us, and he comes and visits the horses all the time. But yeah, the original concept was stallions, and then added to that was bringing horses home from Japan, pensioned American stallions that were done there. And we have a wonderful relationship now with the Japanese Racing Association, with Shodai Stallions, and some of the other farms over there. So in October, when their breeding season is over, they will call us and let us know who's available, and then we'll raise the money to bring them back.
Well, and that has been, you know, a mission and something that you've kept a, you know, close tabs on, you know, some of the far-flung stallions out there. Michael, what about the physical plant? How much more has happened since we talked in the spring?
Well, we've raised the money to put up the fence and the waters on our on some original adjacent land that goes all the way down to, where people know the farm, all the way down to Ironworks Pike. So that got us about a total of 280 acres. And then the opportunity arose to get 90 more acres just up the street at a real bargain price. That was really great, fertile land with really wonderful grass on it. And so I went to the bank and they didn't turn me down. So we got another 90 acres down the street now, and it's beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. We have a great team in place, Steve. We're very, very fortunate. You know, Dr. Waldrich does all our vet work for free. One of the great stories is, and one of the reasons I'm leaving early from Saratoga is on Friday, Green Mask is coming home, and he's been recovering from his broken leg since almost a year ago. It'll be a year in September. And we're very fortunate. Everybody that's done work on him has done it gratis. And he's had hyperbaric chamber work at Kesmark. He's had all this time over at Park Equine Clinic in Versailles. He was shipped by Sally Vance back and forth between here and between Kentucky and Dr. Richardson at New Bolton, who did the operation, the original operation. And now I'm told that Dr. Richardson and Dr. Bramlage are the only two surgical veterinarians that do this operation, where they go in now and they remove all of the hardware. So Green Mask had, 27 pins in his leg, along with a long a metal strip to fortify everything until the bone fused, and then they went back in and they took it all out again. And now he's recovered from all of that, and it looks like he'll be back to the farm on Friday after a long, long, arduous time. He's a beautiful horse, and he's got a marvelous disposition, and of course he was going to be the favorite for the Breeders' Cup Turf when he got hurt. And then I did some research and found out that of all the horses that have been through the Old Friends program, we have 90 horses that have raced at Saratoga.
Wow.
We could have our own card.
Absolutely. easily. I love
it. Yeah. Of course, Commentator won the Whitney twice, and Affirm Success won the Forego, and Awad won the Sword Dancer. I mean, it goes on and on. And I ran into Ramon Dominguez at Avi and Rodas, and he was telling me the Fabulous Strike is his favorite horse, and we have him, and he won the Vanderbilt. And then we have another horse named Next Question, who ran up here, and Ramon actually had some of Next Question's races on his telephone, so he sent them to me. So it's always great, and we're very, very fortunate. We still have a waiting list, but now we have more than 200 retirees now.
Unbelievable, Michael. It's really one of the great success stories. And, you know, you out there pounding the pavement and, you know, what you've been able to accomplish, fold in the Kentucky Downs satellite retirement center and here in New York as well. And it's been just one of the real success stories around the retirement scene.
It's been so much fun, and we're so excited because Corey's upped the price of the old Friends Stakes from $150,000 to
$250,000. Wow. Wow.
And we actually, one of the deals is if you win that race, you're guaranteed retirement at Old Friends. So Calamos, an old gelding, he won the first year that we had the Old Friends Stakes, and he got retired. So we retired Calamos, the first winner of the stakes race, to Old Friends, and he'll be appearing down at Kentucky Downs during the meet.
Nice. Well, tonight, Michael, give everybody one more invitation to join you and what should be a terrific group at the Washington Inn.
Yeah, Steve, so it starts after the races. Actually, we're going to open up here at 5:30, so if anybody comes home early, they can stop by. And it's from 5:30 to 8 at Ann's Washington Inn. We'll be handing out our annual award, and also Dagmar Steiner will be autographing copies of her book, The Art of Old Friends, which is just, as I say, an amazing book and a great tribute to these horses. And we're very, very fortunate. And she's done all this work. It took her 7 years, and she's done all this work, and we put the book together. And she's not taking a penny. She's donating everything to Old Friends. So we're very grateful.
That's nice. Well, for those that don't know, the Washington Inn, Ann's Washington Inn, is on South Broadway, right on 9, just past the Performing Arts Center entrance and the museums, the Dance Hall of Fame, and so forth. Just past there. And as you're coming into Saratoga. So exit 13, if you're coming that way and coming into town, and if you're, you know, heading out of town, right before you get to SPAC, and it's up on the hill. It's for whatever reason, it's a place, I guess because it's up high, people kind of forget about it and forget that it's there as an option, as a hotel option, and there's weddings there, and it's a absolutely beautiful setting. And join Michael and everybody that is so supportive and contributes to the Old Friends concept. And if you've never been to Old Friends, next time you come to Kentucky, put it on your list and go out there, and yeah, Michael will take you out himself, and he'll introduce you to all the stars.
Yes, I will. I'll be more than happy to. And if they're here in Saratoga, they can go out to our farm out at Cabin Creek. Commentators out there, Will's Way, of course, Zippy Chippy.
Your favorite.
Yeah. And it's a really, really good time. And Joanne and Mark Pepper have done a marvelous job up here at Saratoga, I'll tell you that.
No, it's wherever you go, these different options, just the dedication to the horse's well-being. And when you take on, you know, when Michael or anyone, TRF particularly, when they take on a horse that could live to 32, it's a big responsibility. And that deserves our attention and our support. And the fact that you get to go see them, that, you know, the horses you bet on or horses that you admired from afar, a chance Michael's made it possible. Michael, we will see you later.
I can't wait, Steve. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Michael Blowen, everybody, and Old Friends, equine.org on the website front, and you can follow them on Twitter as well. Michael, just 7 days a week. He's working harder now than he ever did as a film critic. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. If he's not, you know, trying to raise money and make the farm bigger and better, you know, he's out there taking care of the horses himself too, with the staff and plus there's volunteers that come out to the farm, all three facilities. does a great job. Always nice to check in with Michael Blowen. Let's take a break, bottom of the hour, and we still got lots to do. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light? Is that right? Way up, way up we go. Been up and down that road. Way up alone. We gon' burn the whole house down.
We're back at the races. About 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and before the New York Bred sale Saturday and Sunday, I didn't want to get too far from Monday night without congratulating Joanne Nielsen. And Mrs. Nielsen, one of our favorite people around the backstretch in Saratoga, and got to know her with the Saratoga Snacks and the success that he had. And it is just with great pleasure we welcome and congratulate Joanne Nielsen on the $1 million American Pharoah seller Monday night. Mrs. Nielsen, congratulations.
Oh, my. I thank you. And I'm just thrilled that he's going where he is, you know, because he's one of my favorites of all time. So
well,
I'm
no
very
doubt.
Excited that he's going home, really, because well, people, you know, that boarded his mother are getting him. So this is good. I'm thrilled.
you have
filled anyway. How could I not be after?
Exactly. No matter where the horse was going, you were going to be thrilled.
That's right. That's right. My son said, "I think, Mom, we need another. You're going to have another place to keep your horses." And I said, "I think I'm going to have a much better place to keep my horses." So I'm thrilled.
So you've had
all's well. Yeah.
You've had so much success, and you didn't need $1 million seller to gain attention or to be appreciated. Your record speaks for itself.
Well, I thank you, but we'll use it well. I promise.
I like that. How many mares do you have right now?
I have 9. I probably will get another one. Thanks to this little helpmate, I can afford to get one more.
And what's your philosophy, Joanne, when you're mating and when you're maintaining the broodmare band?
Well, my philosophy is that there's someone in sight at all times, and they have someone available to take care of them if there's any need. So, I just don't turn them loose to live outside. They come in at night and the daytime, or daytime during the winter, they can go south. And I
having,
go with them.
Well, having the opportunity to go to American Pharoah, I mean, what was the hope and an aspiration of reaching in and spending that for, the collector's item concept, which is what everybody talked about.
Well, I loved his size and his ability. You know, he was just a wonder. So hoping that the children will be too. I'm certainly hoping for the best we can do.
Was that the only one that you covered?
That went to Pharoah? No, there was a filly also, and that'll be in the New York bred sale.
Was she?
And she's beautiful, very beautiful.
Looking
forward to it.
When the colt was selected, were you trying to get both in, or did you segregate the filly for?
No, I just felt that this was the right sale for him. He's big. He's a big boy. And he's out of a mare that really could produce the best. And has, but he had an accident, unfortunately. But he's standing stallion in Kentucky as a New York bred.
Sure.
His name is Upstart, not very romantic name.
Well,
yeah,
and
he's in Kentucky.
Rick was with us. Rick Violet was with us yesterday to talk about the Whitney win, and of course Mr. Evans. And you always got to feel good about putting horses that you bred in those kinds of hands. That helps you.
It certainly does. It certainly does, and I'm very, very proud of both owners and trainer. But the trainer I will always use. So, all's well when you have that in mind.
Without a doubt. And you talk about the people that you associate with, also the Van Landing Stocks, and talk about the relationships that you've enjoyed over the years that also contributes to gaining a reputation.
Well, you know what? I think people don't generally, account for that, but it is a very important thing because we all become one family when we're having such good times and good luck. So I just hope they're all sound and enjoy what they're doing. We'll see.
Well,
we've got some more to see here while we're here because there are others to come out that haven't. So we had a couple, though, this week, and there was a first and a third. And that's a joy. I mean, that's why we're doing it. It's just a great, great advice or enjoying situation. So we like to come to Saratoga.
Oh, yeah, that's where I always get to see you, and I loved when you'd come over to see Gary and dote on Saratoga Snacks, you know, who had such a great career.
Yes, I'll be there again soon.
How many do you have in the sale?
I think I have 8 coming up. Maybe, no. Okay. Oh, 7 left. My daughter's correcting me. So wow. I don't think they'll be up until tomorrow. But looking forward to it and to seeing them. I don't like to be away from them. So hopefully they'll all fall into good hands.
I'm so impressed.
Especially if I can go see them.
Well, that's right. And again, that'll mean maybe some trips to California when it comes to this, the $1 million seller.
Well, I have to do what I have to do. I'll go where they are.
Who in this consignment, beside the American Pharoah Philly, who else should we watch out for? Who do you like particularly out of your consignment?
Oh, dear, I can't say that. No, I can't pick one to be the best because for every reason for different ones, you know?
Sure.
So, but they all look pretty athletic to me. So I hope you'll come see us.
Without fail. Are they all at Summerfield?
Yep. But not until tomorrow afternoon.
Wow.
I've got another American Pharoah who is beautiful.
The Philly hip, it looks like hip 329.
Yeah.
You've also got, is that violence Philly yours?
Yeah. No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
Oops. It's just been living in the same place.
I got you. Well, we will be over and be through, and I'll be with Gary and Joanne Nielsen. So delighted for you to have this kind of a home run. You've been producing steak courses for a long time. Not at all.
And I thank
Not
you
at all.
Very much.
Well
look forward
done.
To having you come and see them.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. Joanne Nielsen and her staff, and what a nice thing for her to say too about. You know, Summerfield and her staff, and her farm is called Sunnyfield, and Summerfield is the consigner, and they're a big part of it as well. And they had the 7-figure pop. Casey, let me stay here and grab Seth so we can handicap till the top of the hour. But I did not want things will get crazy tomorrow once they start showing horses, once the New York breds move in, as the first set of yearlings head to their new homes. They'll get a chance to, you know, some will go into training. It's August already, and they'll get started, and then, you know, really in the fall, that's when it really gets serious. But I wanted to get Joanne on. She is so nice. And when I tell you that she follows up, she, wherever the horses go, I mean, if it's within her capability of going to see them, and you can tell. I mean, she doesn't like having them out of her, as she said, she doesn't like having them horses out of sight. So she goes and checks on them. She would come and see Saratoga Snacks every summer. That's when I had a chance to talk to her. And, of course, her late husband, Gerald Nielsen. And they really had just long-term success steadily. I'm just looking, trying to see about some mares in this group, which others that she has. So we'll pick them out ahead of the sale. And Joe Applebaum is going to join us tomorrow
from NYTHA, and Joe also, though, breeds. He's got Off the Hook, and we'll talk about the breeding side as opposed to the business end, the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association side. Seth Merrow standing by, and Seth, I can tell you that come Sunday, we already have two guests. We've got the Matisse brothers before Duke takes leave of Saratoga. So pencil that in.
Annual visit. They're always two of the best guests we have anyway, so that works out well.
Absolutely. And we named the show after Duke, Loose on the Lead.
I assume coming into town for the contest?
He's already been. He's been in town. He's been in town all month, since the beginning.
Yeah, the two contests are Friday and Saturday up here for folks who. And I think if anybody's interested, I know. They have to register by 5 o'clock today, so people should keep that in mind, the Friday and Saturday. Friday, I think, is 1,000. Saturday's 2,000 buy-in.
Yeah, we discussed with Pete, and, of course, his TV show thing tonight at the pavilion as well. But the players, if you haven't seen them already, you'll see them streaming into town. Let's dive in, Seth, and we start the week with a fun card. Get some opinions from you.
Let me just see here. I'm flipping through because I also just pulled up the scratches. We kind of ran late today. If anybody was looking for us on Capital OTB, some equipment went down, and so we weren't on, but we streamed, and the replay will be on YouTube in a little while. So, and I ran a little bit late, so as I said, just pulling up the scratches. But if you want to, let's kick it off in that fifth race, which kicks off the pick six. I love these kind of races, the two-year-olds, and these are two-year-old state breds going a mile and a 16th on the grass. Let me just check. The 11 and the 13 are out. I didn't use either of those. I guess they're keeping a couple of the MTOs in because there is a chance of showers, but it's one of those where I don't think it's a definite kind of thing at all. But in this fifth race, I have a 10-9, 1-8. I put Duke's Point on top for Christophe Clement. A little bit of breeding there, and it's one of those races where some of the first-time starters did attract me, and I'll probably, if I'm doing something, use at least three of my four, maybe all four. But none of them jumped totally off the page at me. So experience counts. And given that we have a little bit of a decent first-time effort from Duke's Point, I went in that direction. Then Pier 40 for a West Point Thoroughbreds who had the sales topper last night. But I had Tommy Bellhouse on TV the other day, and he mentioned Pier 40. $250,000 for this horse, worked 21.2 before the sale. Now, how does that hold up? How does that translate to two turns on the grass? I don't know, but a couple of siblings won within their first three starts. I think Pure 40 will be live first time out. Crazy Lights, Chad Brown, pretty good amount of money for a state bred with another first-time starter. And then the Glominator I kind of liked as well, worked 10.2 before the April sale. And Animal Kingdom on top attracted some attention. So as I say, I'll tilt with the first-time starters here, but none of them just pulled me in enough to go against the one with a little bit of experience, Duke's Point. So I went 10-9, 1-8 in the fifth.
I went 9-10. And be aware, folks, John Velasquez is off his mounts today, and not everyone has had an announcement, but this is one that is a TBA. So you're not going to have Johnny riding. There'll be somebody else. FYI.
All right, let's move on to race number six, optional claimer, non-winners of two other than. I went 3, 4, 5, and 2. I put Lady Bergen on top. This is just kind of one of those master of the obvious. I think if you're a buyer guy, I am. Lady Bergen looks kind of obvious. And I think there's another one in this sequence a little bit later on that's kind of similar. So maybe you could spread, like with the four horses in that two-year-old race in the fifth. But Lady Bergen just seems to have the edge in here. Baby Boss and Kamora underneath. And Kamora with the early speed, I suppose, has the chance to maybe surprise, except there's a lot of early speed here. So Lady Bergen last time kind of sat off and couldn't make up ground late. But I think there's maybe the ability there to kind of duel early and pull away with the numbers that one fires. If you're looking at it as a race with a lot of early speed, and you're looking for an alternative, I don't know if anything jumps off the page as a solid closer that you could go with. So I'll just go with the one that has the best numbers here, Lady Bird. And so, again, 3, 4, 5, and 2, and 6.
Yeah, I thought that Lady Bergen just laid over this group. It'll be a surprise. You know who could come running late and pick up a share if you're gonna try to leverage Lady Bergen on top heavily. Held Accountable from Serpy, I think can come with a late run. Will be running at the end, so. Might be a little bit of a exotic boost from
certainly
from
the early races in the career show that, but the last couple, not so much. I wasn't sure what to go. The last couple, though, maybe excuses. One was a turf race, and one was on a sloppy track. So maybe that's another one to play around with, just getting back to a dry dirt track. Maybe that's an angle there, because you 10-1 on the morning line, and I think those last two races would tend to darken the form enough that you'll get a pretty good price there.
What about the stake?
Stakes race, the call, I went 7, 6, 10, and 1 in a race that I think is really competitive. But I put Dirty on top for Jeremiah Englehart. Last couple of races were pretty good, nice improving numbers. Tri-Stakes Company, and so, that's a step up maybe a little bit class-wise, but I think it's going to bid up the last few. Shine Royal is interesting to me. Off-the-turf win last time, a big off-the-turf win. It was a claimer, claimed out of that race, now gets back to the turf, has a turf race earlier that I thought was okay, though. So, again, Shang Royal with Castellano on board at 8-1 on the morning line. I had it at Stolen Pistol. Goes out for Joe Sharp, who's been really good so far at the meet. Couple starts so far, couple of wins. So far this year, couple of wins. So I think another one in some pretty good form. But, as I say, World of Trouble, I had in the fourth spot. I wasn't sure what to do with that one, but that World of Trouble certainly scares me. Again, in what I think is a really competitive race. For me, 7, 6, 10, and 1.
Yeah, that's what I, 7, 6, 1, or 7, 10, 1 for me. And that's Shang Royal's fine. And I'll ask you, boy, who you said there was another standout that you were going to lean on. Was it in the 8th or the 10th?
There was one that did. Oh, J.J. Dreaming, I thought, had the edge. I mean, you can make a case, I suppose, for Speak, but again, I think if you're a buyer guy, J.J. Dreaming in the 8th looks to have an edge. So
I think you got
to
use them both. I think you got to use both.
Okay. All right. Because I think once you get past those two, New York Hero is interesting to me, just
scratched.
On the scenario.
Scratched.
Oh, okay.
Scratched. Scratch.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Don't worry about New York Hero.
The story, though, there, Lady Sheila going from Linda Rice to Jonathan Thomas, I gotta find out what went on there.
Well, okay. I that was a story that was in the making about a month, but no comment. The nightcap, Marcus Vitali, who somehow continues to be able to operate horses. The 12, that wild colonial boy, looks like he's very much the horse to beat.
I had Giant Boo Boo on top. I had Wild Colonial Boy running.
Boo Boo?
Yeah, Boo-boo. Maybe a little bit. Evenly matched underneath, I used the 3 and the 6. The 3, to me, is one that I got to believe this horse is better than that first start. May get an improved effort with the class relief here in the second start. A 12-1 McKieran horse is one that, if I'm playing triples, I'll put in the mix. Certainly had it 8, 12, 3, and 6.
Seth Merrill. You can see the Saratoga one sheet, the analysis, CapitalOTB.com. And you can watch Seth and I and our completely free-form loose on the lead. They let us out. They let us out of the cage 8 times a year now to carry on. And
people
and
love
fun.
It.
They do love it. They love you. They love you. They tolerate me.
Not
Seth
true.
Merrill,
they
folks.
Love you, too.
And,
good luck to everybody today.
Your Twitter feed has been just great.
Just a quick Twitter story. I tried to sign on last night,
And when I did, it made me Seth Merrill too. I don't want to be Seth Merrill too. So now I'm steaming. I go, I have a bunch of browsers open. So I open another browser. I keep working. I go back to the original browser. It says I've been locked. I hadn't done a thing with the account. I've already been locked.
That's great.
I thought it had me break the news today. I failed. I failed on the sign-in.
This is all you need to know. Seth Merrow and Twitter. It's so great. I couldn't have scripted it better. Good luck today. I'll see you in a little. Seth Merrow, everybody. Sid Fernando, Pete Fornatale, Bill Gallo, Michael Blowen, and Mrs. Joanne Nielsen. This was fun. I'll get the rest of the selections up shortly. I think I found an 8-1 shot in the nightcap in that maiden 20 at Del Mar. That Jonas I brought up with, I think I'm going to key off that horse. I'll have all the rest of the selections up in a little bit. It's going to be fun. It's turned into a beautiful day. So the idiots that forecast weather for a living, they're hopeless. Good luck today, folks. Talk to you in the morning. If you missed anything, the replay or steepick.com.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.